Hello and welcome to a special edition of Hooked on Drupal. This is a regular podcast from Commercial Progression, and today is May 14th, and that places us directly in the middle of DrupalCon out in Los Angeles, and we're very excited today to have some special guests. So on this side of the table, in the headquarters of Commercial Progression, is Alex Fisher, the owner and founder, and way over on the other side of the continental United States, we have Steve Burge from OS Training on location out at DrupalCon. And Steve was kind enough to be our man on the street, to go out and check out all the highlights of DrupalCon and come back with this special podcast opportunity to kind of get some insights as to what's going on there. Steve Burge has recently kicked off a Kickstarter campaign to do free Drupal 8 training that's going to be released in September, and Commercial Progression just came on board as a proud sponsor of the upgrade from Drupal 7 to Drupal 8, a collection of 50 videos that are going to be made public and free as a training resource to the Drupal community. Steve, can you give us a little bit of a heads up of what you're experiencing there at DrupalCon?
Oh, welcome, guys. Thanks for having me. Yeah, we are right in downtown LA. The DrupalCon this year is right in the heart of LA, right next to the Staples Center, where they play, where the Los Angeles Lakers and the LA Clippers, a hockey team, big and Art Deco hotels around here. It's really a great location right in the heart of LA. The convention center is right next to the basketball arena. And when we arrived on Sunday night, they were playing one of the NBA playoff games, and it was crazy, and there were fans all around, and LA has really turned out to be a great location for DrupalCon. The Pantheon guys, who are based out in California, rented out a enormous square right next to the Staples Center, to the basketball arena, yesterday for a party. There was a big open-air Pantheon party right in the 500 people, bullpens everywhere in downtown LA. It's an exciting location. Most conference centers, most convention centers have been fairly bland location. This one in is really, really well located. Lots of hotels in easy walking distance, so you walk out and walk around the convention center, and you keep on bumping into Drupal people everywhere.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty good time. And I haven't had the good fortune of attending a DrupalCon, but Alex, I know you and the team went out last year to Austin.
Sure. Yeah, I've been to all of them since San Francisco, and I was at the Pantheon party last year, and I know that was a great time. So I can only imagine how good it was this year. They seem to one-up it every year.
Yeah, that's their thing, I guess. They like to sponsor the parties. DrupalCons, Drupal Camps, they like to get their names over the parties.
Yeah.
DrupalCon is, I think it's a little smaller than Austin, Portland. I'm not sure whether LA is actually a bit of a difficult location to get to. But it still seems pretty big. I think maybe 4,000 people came. See a lot of big companies in attendance, it's a great location. This afternoon they're about to announce where the next North American DrupalCon will be, and to announce one in India as well this afternoon.
Oh wow. Is that the first one in India?
I think so. Yeah, I've been hearing rumors about next year. I'm not sure if it's leaked out there in the public yet or not, but I think I heard through the underground where it's gonna be, and it should be good. I hope that we attend next year.
But we're not able to leak that information on the podcast. It's
top secret.
It's a little top secret. Okay, so some secrets remain.
For 5 hours, I think.
Yeah, and so Steve, I think OS Training, you guys are a supporting partner of the Drupal Association as well, and so they try to get supporting partners to support a little bit extra, and the carrot they dangle is kind of giving us a little bit of the story and the rumor.
So part of the support is you get down on the inside information. I get
for 5 more hours, like Steve said.
Well, you know, and I caught some of the opening remarks from Dries, and one of the things I kind of wanted to throw your way, Steve, just because it seems like it relates to the undertaking that you've recently kicked off, was Dries was just kind of relating Drupal to a public utility and just how massive a project it's become and how much effort it takes to maintain it and keep everything up to date and informed. And the Drupal 8 training package that you're putting together really seems to align with that kind of call for engagement and involvement to keep the project healthy and going and supported. And that's definitely one of the reasons we came on board as a supporter. He said that, you know, some of his remarks were related back to another talk he gave in Amsterdam, but I don't know if you attended that. Maybe you could give some remarks just to where you see, you know, the Drupal effort going and how this project of yours relates to it.
Yeah, this seems like there's two questions there. The as a public utility, he seems to be talking a lot about Drupal as an infrastructure lately. He had a post that was pretty widely spread about moving to the push web, and I think it got reposted and picked up on TechCrunch, and he included a lot of that in his presentation for the keynote on Tuesday. And the idea behind that is that instead of being a destination website where people come to you to find the information, you're basically pushing information to them as and when they need it. So his definition was that we used to be in the era of pull web, where you were trying to pull people into your website. Now he thinks we're moving into the era of the push web, where someone has their Apple Watch or their Fitbit or some kind of wearable, and instead of trying to pull them to your website, you're trying to push a notification to them. And so he talked quite a bit about that. And in essence, in that example, you would never see a Drupal site. You wouldn't visit a Drupal page. You wouldn't get a Drupal CSS loading. Drupal is the infrastructure, kind of like a public utility is in terms of simply holding the data and pushing out via an API, pushing out the information to your watch, to your phone. I presume he sees the future of Drupal as going into the stack. And he talked a lot about personalization, which I think he did at Austin last year as well, in his keynote, talking a lot about being able to give people a customized, personalized experience as and when they want it. And those two things are fairly closely related. In order to be able to give people a really useful push notification, you need to collect a lot of data about them and understand what they want and when they want it. He gave his keynote was basically a recap of Drupal's history, and then launching into the second half of the keynote, he was talking about Drupal as a utility, as a framework, and about those ideas about the push web that he's been blowing about for the last few weeks.
Yeah, no, I thought that was pretty interesting take on the future as well. And we've kind of seen this developing in his discussions for a couple years as he analyzes Google and how much data they present in a view just on a search, you know, and building frameworks that can really do a lot with complex data sets. We've, you know, looked at the LIFT technology from Acquia a little bit. I've spent some time in inbound marketing and saw all the information collected about someone and what you could do with it. So yeah, we're seeing that as definitely a trend towards the future and a different way to think about Drupal development.
Yeah, and even, you know, Drupal compared to other open source content management systems out there, it's interesting because I think Drupal's architecture gives it some competitive advantages when you don't have the assumption that you're just pushing it to a desktop browser, even, you know, responsive site that's being pushed to a mobile browser. You know, it used to be the talk was about headless Drupal, and I think that's what we're seeing is, you know, Drupal is a part of the stack, and it may be pushing data to a mobile app, it may be pushing it to a web browser, or maybe it's pushing it to an ERP system or some other third-party system. And that's really where I, you know, in my experience, Drupal's really shined well when you're trying to integrate with other systems. You know, it's best of breed. It does certain things great, and other open source or proprietary software does things, you know, just as well or better sometimes. And you're able to leverage, you know, what Drupal's good at and leverage something else for the rest.
Yeah, that's been a competitive advantage for several of our projects, right? That have to
Sure.
integrate with a larger system, and Drupal can handle it.
Yep.
Yeah, we've ended up walking around the booths quite a lot and talking to quite a few companies here that are big on personalization. It's not just in the presentations that we've seen it, but also in terms of the companies that are turning up. Quite a lot of them are focusing on inbound marketing, on marketing automation, on personalization. People actually trying to shape and build businesses around this. And there are still some of the traditional Drupal agency up, but of course, there are some whole companies springing up to try and focus on these topics. Competitors to Acquia, Lyft, I guess, in some ways, but also offering something new and something different.
Yeah, very good. And I guess I gave you a loaded question at the beginning, kind of had two parts to it. And I think the other section that Dries kind of teed up was, you know, public utility kind of becomes this conduit of service, but it also requires a lot more maintenance once it gets out there and spread out and used by so many people. How do you keep it maintained, and how do you support even just the documentation of how to use it well? And I think that's where some of our recent partnership clicked in on.
Yeah, and I know it resonated for me. I mean, we certainly have plenty of clients that we support where we didn't necessarily build the project, but we're taking over from someone else that either built it in-house or with another vendor. And you know, training, you know, I had encountered OS training years ago when commercial progression just started, and I've seen you guys out there as you've developed as an organization and provide more and more training, which is a critical component of the community. Because I know we launch sites, we provide a little bit of training, we support, but there's always a need for that kind of more in-depth drive. And so when we saw what you guys were doing for Drupal 8, it definitely appealed to us.
Oh, thanks. It's good to be able to give things away for free, but to do it at a high quality, there's some kind of a business model behind it. So many of the modules on Drupal.org are given away for free, but they were probably part of a project done for a customer. There was some kind of a way to get the bills paid and to enable that contribution to happen. And in this case, we were trying to figure out how to give our training away for free and also keep our trainers fed and watered and keep a roof over their heads. And we actually used to be our company name is still technically open source training, even though in most of our branding now we simply use OS training. And the reason we did that, whenever we had open source training on our websites or on our materials, we used to get people calling up and saying, wait, how come you guys are charging when it's open source? Isn't it meant to be all 100% free?
Right.
You guys are scammers. Everything that's open source is meant to be free. And it was actually became a real point of confusion. So we dropped down to simply using OS training instead. But it's something that stuck with us, and being involved in the open source communities that we are, if you can make a business model around giving something away free, that's always a better way to go than locking up the information or locking up your code. So in this case, the Kickstarter was a solution that we hit on to be able to contribute and also to be able to feed our staff as well.
Yeah, I can relate to that, and certainly, you know, we as businesses, we reap the benefits of what the community does and what it is, and it's really important that loop's completed, and we have to feed back into the community as we prosper as businesses. We have to help foster and cultivate that community, and to some people, I think especially in the early days of Drupal, some people thought it was just contributing code to the project, but you know, certainly building a website or anything in Drupal, it's about way more than just code. And so I think a lot of people understand that the Drupal community isn't about just how many commits do you have on D.O, but it is, you know, training, it's documentation, it's, you know, meetups, it's podcasts, it's the time we invest into that community. And from a business perspective, investing some dollars sometimes is just as good, sometimes it's even better than time. And I think a combination of those are the way we try to give back. So yeah, it's good.
Yeah. There was something that was said at the first DrupalCon that I went to that still sticks with me. The first one I went to was up in Chicago, not too far from you guys in the Midwest.
Yep.
And it was 2010, I think it was, went to my first DrupalCon. We did some training before, and I went into a panel session with Robert Douglas, been around the Drupal community for years and years, and it was a session about how people could contribute to Drupal, and there was a few people up at the panel, and they were giving advice, and this one guy stands up at the back of the room, and he says, well, I don't feel like I can contribute anything to Drupal because I'm so busy that we're just a small two or three person shop,
yeah,
and we're always running around like crazy. Our margins are really slim. If we try and take any time to contribute, then we're going to, we may not be able to pay, make payroll at the end of the month. And so Robert Douglas stands up and says, you know what my advice to you is? Get better at business.
I'm laughing, Steve, because I remember being in that session as well, and at the time I was still just a one man shop, still not understanding, you know, how to grow a team or even be able. I was barely paying for myself at that point, so that question resonated with me. But at the end of the day, like, we don't spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week doing our work. We have time to watch Netflix or whatever. What's a little bit of time to give back to the community? And so I remember Robert Douglas's answer was very, like, it was very Midwest. Like, that was a very kind of, like, Midwest answer to give.
Right. Yeah, and that was 2010,
yeah.
Yeah, and you've learned a lot about running a Drupal shop in 7 years. And, I mean, we're kind of in a growth phase right now in your involvement with the Goldman Sachs business incubator and growth strategy sessions. I mean, there is a lot to learn about always taking it to the next level, and you know, you can't blame the technology, like, for how to run your business. But
yep.
Yeah, there's I think the guy was a little shocked at the answer, and I think it still is quite a bit, it still might be a fairly shocking answer to quite a few people who are a little nervous about mixing commercial opportunity and businesses with open source. But really, I think one of the things that I've learned, perhaps the hard way, and you guys sound like you've learned the hard way over the last few years as well, is that the two are, they're complementary to some extent.
Yeah.
And so, if you have, I think Robert followed up saying things like increase your margins, increase your rates. He broke down ways in which the guy could improve his business and make more money. If you're charging even $70 an hour as opposed to $30 an hour, then you have more time to contribute back. And we've always debated ways in which we could give away more free training, and this is hopefully a fairly successful combination. It's helping the community, but it's also making sure that the people stick around to be able to contribute in the future. And well, I think there's still a nervousness about Drupal 8 as well. It's taken a while. A lot of people are still on Drupal 6 and Drupal 7, and I hope that if there's a lot of good training available when Drupal 8 comes out, then it'll help give some momentum. It'll give some encouragement to Drupal, to the Drupal 8 movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and we believe so, and we're looking forward to seeing that new resource come online in September, promoting it and making our the global community aware of it. And so we thank you for that opportunity, Steve, and thank you for coming on board for this discussion and this kind of podcast overview of OnSite. I know you got some sessions to attend today as things wrap up, and we're just so glad that you were able to make this happen with us.
Oh, thank you guys for helping us, and thanks for inviting me on the podcast too.
Okay, well, if we don't see you at the next event, I'm sure we'll see you online once the training starts to come out. I remember spending some time with you way back when I was getting into Joomla. And everything's going south here, but I'm living in a new world right now, and I'm trying to get up to speed with what Drupal is and how I do a lot of site building with it, so I'm looking forward to taking in some of that training myself.
Oh, great. Hopefully we'll catch you at DrupalCon, to be announced, this time next year.
All right, very good. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks guys.
All right, and thank you for joining us for this special podcast opportunity of Inside DrupalCon with Steve Burge and from OS Training, and we'll see you on the next one.